No? Well, praise God. We're going to continue on our lesson. I believe we did it on Sunday. So we do it on a Wednesday too. We do this any time of the day or night. We do it in the plane, in the train. Amen? Hallelujah. We do it in the taxi cab. Do it in church. Teach the word of God. Anyway. All righty. Anybody remember what we did last week? Making a right confession. Praise God. We talked about making the right kind of confession. And let's go to our text. Hebrews chapter 4:14. And I'm going to add a few other scriptures along with that. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, who's that? That has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. And so we're talking about holding fast our profession or making the right kind of confession. So we need to understand confession in an understanding that we're in a spiritual battle. And whether you like it or not, you say, well, I didn't sign up for it. I'm not an intercessor. Well, because you're Christian, you're in the battle. And so there's some understanding you need to have that you're in a winning battle if you use your faith. Remember 1 Timothy 4 or 6:12 says that fight the good fight of faith. Faith is something that your faith is something that you talk about, that you proclaim and you affirm. So many people fail to see the place of confession in their lives as believers. And many don't understand what confession means and where it's supposed to be or where it has the place in their lives. And many people have thought confession, making a bad confession is talking about something maybe that happened, a bad situation that happened in your life, or explaining to somebody that if you're sick, you talk about explaining to them what's going on in your body or in your life, or you're having a bad experience at home or something. So I kind of look at it this way. A bad confession is complaining, not explaining. You know, so you have to explain something to people. If they don't understand you're sick and why you're not doing something, you can't stay quiet. You got to tell them what's going on in your life. Amen? So over the years, you know, being a pastor, I've seen people try to correct each other because they think somebody's making a bad confession if they're talking, if they're saying something, you know, that's going on that might not be, you know, necessarily a victory thing. So I want to talk about that and show you what really is a bad confession. So many fail to see the place of confession, a face, because the scripture said we read, let us hold fast our confession. So holding fast our confession is talking about, okay, so you have to hold fast your confession. I believe the King James says profession. The New King James says confession. Okay? So you have to hold fast. That means you have to hold tight about what you have to say. Okay, so people associate confession only in a negative way because there is a positive confession. And they think about 1 John 1:9, when I confess my sins. So they think about, when you say confession, they think about sin or failure or something, you know, maybe something going on in their lives that's wrong. The Bible does speak about confession of sin, but it speaks about it in other ways, you know, it does speak about confession. Hebrews 4:14 we mentioned. So the Greek word of confession is the word homologeo, spelled like homologeo, which when it's translated means to speak the same as God in the literal sense, to speak the same as God. And so when you look at it in the original language, so we as Christians are to confess what believers need to confess in accordance to what God says about your life. So we as Christians, you know, why do we have to hold tight to our confession? Why do we have to hang tight, hold on to what we have to say? Because we have an enemy who will try to oppose you and get you to confess the wrong things, the bad things only in your life. So let's take, for example, let's use the any dictionary would say confession means to acknowledge or to own. If, you know, for our discussion, it means to acknowledge faith in something. It also means to make confession of one's own faults or one's own faith in something. So there's, you know, kind of wide variety of things about confession. But we're looking at, when we say confession for our teaching, we're saying hold fast to your confession, or hold fast to what you believe. Hold fast to what you believe in the things of what God's saying. So there are four kinds of confessions in the New Testament, and three refer to the believer or the Christian. So we kind of talked about that last week. The Bible speaks about four kinds of confession. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, we see the Jewish people confessing their, you know, disobedience to God and doing their own thing, leaving the covenant and getting away from the things of God. And so they were confessing their sin. And so we see the sinner's confession into salvation, which we call, you know, the prayer of salvation. We see that in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that's the confession of faith in Christ. Okay? So we confess our belief in Jesus, and that's the first confession you made to get into the kingdom of God. And we gave you scripture that shows you that this is the way you will get everything else in life from heaven or from God. You confess your way into the kingdom of God and you got salvation. And so if you're going to get anything else in the New Testament, you have to do the same thing as you did in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That is, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Okay, so, here's something that I learned over the years. I don't know about you, but I don't ever pray for money. If I can pray for a job to get money. You know, Brother Egan used to say, people try to confess. They make all kinds of crazy confessions, and they can just do whatever they want. Like, I showed you some ridiculous thing about confession. People say, well, you know, you better watch that kid around the pool because that kid could drown. And so somebody said, don't confess that on me. I put angels around my kid. And the the kid drowned. Well, God told you to take care of the kids, not the angels, right? So that confession is totally crazy. And so this is the kind of thing that makes, you know, confusion around. Or like you say, for instance, I'm going to confess I'll never get COVID. I'm not going to wear, you know, the mask in those places where there's a whole lot of it. And I'm not going to wash my hands. I'm just going to just mingle, do whatever I want to do, touch anything I want to touch, and not even wash my hands. I don't really care because I have faith. I confess I have faith. Well, that's stupidity. You know, and so people say stuff like that, and it makes, you know, we never teach that. That's not what we teach. We never teach, and yet people say that about us. That's what we do. We just confess whatever we want. I believe I'll have $10 million next month. Well, that's not how it works. You know, so if I believe in, you know. You could confess that God supplies all my needs if I need money. I'm confessing God has blessed me because the Bible says so. He supplies all my needs. Is that what it says? Philippians? Was it Philippians 4:19? God shall supply half of my needs. No, all of them. So we can say God supplies my needs. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or shall not lack for anything. So because Jesus is my shepherd, I can confess that, you know what? Hey, he's my shepherd. I won't lack for anything. Right? You know, you know, the Bible says that the angels will work in conjunction for you according to what you say. There are angels here in your life, and they're waiting for you to speak the word so that you can release them to do whatever they need to do around your life. Is this boring for anybody, or is this helpful for somebody? Okay? So, because some people are going like this. What's going on? I'm trying to help you. Okay? So there's people around here, maybe in this room, don't look around, that say things like that. They just confess whatever they want to confess, and they don't take precaution. They don't, you know, I confess I'll have health and do whatever they want to do. I'm going to eat all this food, and I'm just going to believe that I'm just going to curse all the calories. You know? You've been trying for years, right? Cursing God. So you don't, that doesn't work that way, right? So you can, as we saw, you know, last week when we talked about those illustrations, you know, just confessing something when you're supposed to take precaution and just confess. No, you're supposed to take precaution. You cannot violate laws of this world and expect things to go right for you. You have to stay within the realm of the laws of this world and the laws of God, and then you can have your thing. Say, you know, we talked about having your needs met, and like I say to myself, I don't say, Lord, I need $100,000. Please give me $100,000 to go run the ministry. I haven't prayed that thing one time ever, you know. but we could say God will meet our needs, and believe God will fulfill your needs. One thing about ministry, if God called you, He'll provide the funds for it. God never called me alone that I'm strong enough to believe all for the money to come in. You know? No, God says, I'm going to put you there. And like Paul says, nobody goes to war on their own expenses. Right? You don't go to work every day, Harry. Harry, you don't go to work every day and fly up north and you pay your own way. Right? Harry, come on now. Yeah? So, I mean, this lady here works for the government. We're not going to show you on TV, but if you work for the government of Canada, right, you don't go to work driving. You don't want to provide your own vehicle, your own clothing, right? So God provides. You know, He provides ways. So thank God for His provision in our lives. I didn't come into ministry to, you know, I believe I confess, this is what I confess, Lord provides all my needs, right, according to His riches and glory, and I'm believing that. And He's done it. He's done it, praise God, and we have all our needs met and more. So there's a confession, the sinner's confession into salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. There's a believer's confession of their sin, which we talked about, 1 John 1, 9. When you sin, you confess that to God, and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Has anybody sinned today? Well, you can confess that. You know, you don't have to tell everybody. But you can confess it to God, and God will forgive you. You know, the moment you turn to God and say, Lord, I'm wrong, he cleanses you. And you don't have to suffer for 2 weeks that you failed. Because your esteem, you have self-esteem issues, and the Lord's saying, what's wrong with you? You know, so you could forget it. Okay? So years ago, and that's used to happen to me, if I failed, and I would think about it for so long. But now, since I know that, I don't worry about it. Jesus already cleansed it. So when the devil comes to you, he said, there's no sin. You tell him, there's no sin now. It's washed. I'm washed and I'm cleansed, right? Thank God for that. So this is what you could do if you had a problem and you can confess your sin. And just don't wait till Sunday morning. Don't wait to go to a pastor, teacher, or somebody. Just go ahead and confess it right away and you'll be cleansed. Will you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the fourth one, and this is the one we're going to talk about a little bit more. The believer's confession. That's the believer's confession of faith. Hebrews 4:4. Let's look at it one more time on the screen for everyone and for those that are watching at home, being lazy and scared of the cold, and you should have bought your winter tires. Okay. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest. Okay. So there's a high priest. You know, he's talking about, you know, kind of referring to the Old Testament. Used to have high priests. And he said that a high priest was the only one who could go to the holies of holies and go in there, you know, and offer the sacrifice. The other guys couldn't go in there. If they went in there, they would drop dead. Okay? What? You're gone in heaven. You can't violate that law. But Jesus went in there into the holy holies of heaven, and it was not on earth, in heaven, and he brought his own blood and cleansed, you know, this is our Jesus. He's now at the right hand of the Father, God the Father, right there. And every time you have a problem, you go there, He's there for you, interceding for you. And every time you say prayer in the name of Jesus, that prayer is answered with Jesus. That's the right hand right here, right? Right hand of the Father, He's there. And every time you make a confession of faith, Jesus makes sure it happens in your life. I'm going to show you in the Bible. Tell your neighbor, he's going to show us in the Bible. Okay. So let us, he says, let us, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. The King James, let's go to the New King James, because that's the old King James. We want to go to the New King James. Everybody say old.
Old.
Nobody wants to be old, you know. So, old is not too bad if you're healthy. And if you're strong, you're strong, right? Because the Bible says, right? There's the Bible says, what's that scripture? Do you remember the scripture in Psalm 92? I think it's Psalm 92 somewhere on there, where it says you can be, when you're old, you can be green and vital. Right? Vital, just full of life. Not just like, you know, like you're alive, like, you know, just, man, you know, if you're like that, you must go home, right? It's better if you go home. So, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Everybody say, hold fast. Say, hold fast. So, because the devil, he's kind of with his claws pulling at the back of your leg, right? And saying all kinds of bad things to you and accusing you and telling you how bad you are, you're not a nice Christian, and telling you to say bad things to people and to steal that, and just go ahead and take a good fit right now. And make you remember things about bad things happen. Here's what I was doing today. I went for a coffee. I was here in the office. We did some taping. And I went to get something to eat. And I was talking to the Lord. We were talking together. I thought about something. And something was coming so fast. And I thought about that. What would happen, you know, if he hit me or hit him, and there's a big accident there, right? The more I thought about it, I got mad, right? You know, and the Lord said to me, "The more you thought about it, didn't you? You got really mad, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "The more you dwell on something bad, the more angry you'll feel, and the more angry you feel, you're going to say something bad. But if you think about something nice, you'll say something nice." So the devil's at you all the time, trying to push you. That's why you got to hold fast, especially if you want to say something bad to somebody who's serving you and they're so slow. Right? When you go around, you know, my wife and I, we went to the Tim Hortons over on way over there by the college. We went in there. We just grabbed a little coffee. I ordered my coffee. And can you give me this, give me that? And the other person on the other end, "Is that you, Pastor Roma?" I recognize that voice somewhere. I said, "It's me. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, it's me." And, you know, you have to be nice all the time, right? Because not only will God see you, but other people see you, right? So you have to be nice to everybody, right? I'm pointing at everybody today. I'm pointing out your sins. I love it. I love it. Lord, forgive me. Now it's washing in the blood. Okay, so... Now, so confession, you're going to confess these three things, these three areas you're going to confess. You're going to make a confession of faith in these three areas. Okay? So this is what you're going to do. You can confess, you're going to confess who you are in Christ. Well, who are you in Christ? Well, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. Everybody say, "I'm righteous." Like right now, you'll never be any more righteous now than the first day you got born again till this day. And then 1,000,000,000 years from now, you'll never be more righteous than you are right now. You're righteous right now. Even if you did something bad, you're still righteous. Now your flesh wants to do other things and your mind wants to do other things. But you can't listen to your mind and you can't listen to your flesh. That is, your body is not born again yet. Right? So right now, no matter how you feel and what you've done, you're righteous before God right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17 says, you rule as a king in this life by Jesus Christ. Because of your righteousness, you can say things as a king in your life and rule in your domain. That's your confession. Tell the devil, you can't defeat me. I'm righteous. Jesus made me righteous. The blood of Jesus made me right. So you got to be strong. Say, I'm determining my outcome. I'm calling myself blessed in the name of Jesus. So right now, you are righteous. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, that same chapter in 17 says that you're a new creation. That old person that you used to be is dead, but now you're alive in Christ. So there's a lot of verses in the Bible like that. So you know the scripture says, I believe it's Romans 8:37, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. My pastor told me way back, he says that when a man works a good 8-hour shift for 2 weeks and gets a paycheck and comes home, he's all happy, and he brings his check home. Remember, we used to bring our check home, but now they just send it over on internet, right? So how many of you still get a paper thing? But you get a check. My pastor said that man comes home, and he says, I'm more than a conqueror. Look at this, honey, I got this check. Pulls out the check like that. The woman grabs it and whoosh, he says, I'm more than the conqueror. But see, we are conquerors. You're more than a conqueror through him. Right? But you said, I've been getting beaten so bad lately. But the Bible says you're more than a conqueror. Okay? So here's another scripture for you. That's through Christ you're more than a conqueror. There's a scripture verse that we always refer to in Philippians 4:13. Do you remember what it says? Philippians 4:13, how many remember what it says? What does it say? I can do some things, half the things. I can do just the easy things, and God can do the best. No, I can do what? All things through my church. Huh? Through Jesus. Through Christ. So whenever you come up with something, you say, I can do this. I can handle this. I tried that in the gym with the weights, and I fell over. But I'm getting there. Right, Stacy? Stacy goes to the gym. I saw that on the Facebook. Anyways, so those are scriptures that tell you who you are. So thank God for that. There's over 133 scriptures that tell you who you are in Christ, through him, with him, by him. Those are in the Bible, and you read them and you say, that's me, that's who I am. So the second thing you confess is what you have in him. What do you have? You have redemption, you have healing, you have all your needs met. So you got a lot of things to confess what belongs to you. And the more you confess it, the more real it becomes to you. And the more real it becomes to you, the more it's going to come into you. The more manifest. Three, you confess, as we mentioned earlier, what you can do through Christ. How many things can you do? All things. I can come to church on Wednesday night. When everybody else is staying home watching the Boston Bloomers. Boston and the Leafs tonight. No, they're not playing tonight. Okay, so what do we confess as a believer on a regular basis? Believers are to confess the Word of God. You must speak the Word of God and say what the Word of God says about you. Confess what, what God did for you or God did for us, the church, as a result of Jesus going to the cross and being raised from the dead. You have to say what it says. You have to confess what Jesus is to us right now and what he's doing for us at the right hand of the Father. So, let's go to that scripture here, just to remind it of something. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, Hebrews 3, 1, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. So we have to confess Jesus. What's he doing there? So now he's gone to heaven, but he's sitting there, he's there at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing there for you? One thing about it, as you mentioned, he's interceding. What does that mean? Kind of a religious term, right? Oh, he's interceding for you. So what does that mean? Huh? He's praying. So what is he praying about? Huh? So look at, watch this. As you mentioned, Hebrews 7:25, the latter verse that Hebrews 7:25 says he always lived to make intercession. Okay, so intercession is one word. Prayer is one word that he prays for us, but also interceding means that he goes to bat for you. He goes to speak for you. He represents you. He's your counselor. He's your counsel before God. And if the devil ever has any dispute for you, he's going to be there for you. Right? He's going to be there for you, and he's going to fight for you. You know, Exodus 14:14 says, if anything happens to you, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to fight for you. You know, remember in school when you were a kid? Kid says, I'm going to fight you after school. And you get scared, eh? I used to get scared. I'm going to beat you up after school. It's like the devil, right? Torment you all day long. You think about, I'm going to get beat up. I'm going to get beat up. I'm going to get beat up after school. So you wish you had a big brother, right? So did you ever had a big brother in school? None of you had? Some of you did. You were the big brother that got beat up. That's even worse, right? Yeah. I'm going to get my brother and he gets beaten up too. Okay, what am I going to do next? But Jesus never gets beat up. Huh? So confess what God is doing for you right now as well through the Holy Spirit. What is God doing for you right now through the Holy Spirit? He's working in you mightily. That's what he's doing. The Holy Spirit is working in you right now. In fact, the Holy Spirit power is working in you right now to keep you healthy and give you divine healing and health in your body right now. He's preventing sickness from getting to you by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is working in you to give you even the desire to do the things you don't want to do for him. You ever get up and say, I don't want to do this? Then just say, Lord, help me. And then he can help you. So, okay. So we have to do that. We have to say what God's love is doing in you. You know, that's a good confession to make, eh? You can love your enemies. You ever think about that? Nobody thinks about that. My confession, I can confess love. Yeah? So I can love people? Okay, so I was getting mad at that man driving down the road and almost slammed into me, and I'm almost slamming into him. I thought I was going to cut him off. I changed my mind. Then I saw him whip by me, and I saw him. Then I noticed it was a friend of mine. No, I was kidding. I was kidding. Anyway, I went in there, and I got mad. I felt I was getting mad. So then I saw myself fighting in my head. You know? That's how fast it was, like bang, 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 all of a sudden. That's your old man. That old man is dead, right? And It's crazy when back in the old days, you know, I wanted to fight people, but I was not even strong enough or big enough, and I wanted to fight anybody. And I would just get raging mad. In fact, people were afraid of me. They thought I was crazy. You're supposed to laugh. Yeah, I thought, like, I thought, you know, literally I was crazy. But the Lord saved me. So it told me that step two in the AA says I was restored to sanity. Because the things that I did was crazy. And I was hidden, you know, south really bad. That way. Remember that? We were crazy, right? You're crazy too. You were actually more crazy than I was. Here's what we have to declare. Here's what we got to confess. We have to confess our supremacy over Satan. Like people, they get on Facebook a lot of times or call me right away, Satan's after me. I said, well, hide. Right? Yeah. You know, Satan, he's coming over now. Okay, watch. Satan. Satan is looking at, he's waiting for you in the car right now. And he's actually sitting on your couch when you go home and eat your cheesies. He's going to be sitting right there for you. He's going to tell you things. He's going to tell you get mad at your neighbor and all that kind of stuff. So he's there. So he'll tell you, I'm going to kill you. He's like that bully. I'm going to get you after school. I'm going to beat you up. That's how Satan is, right? He said, oh, next time, listen, you got away last time, but this time this sickness is going to really kill you. And if you ever had sickness, real sickness, that's what he says. I've had it. I've had what the doctor told me. I had some kind of stroke. I was only 32 years old. And my whole body, part of my body was sore, pain for about 5 years. Part of my face was like, didn't feel right. You know when you got something wrong with you. My feet was tingling, my arm was tingling. And the devil told me every day, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Every day. Ministering the word of God, I'm tired. I would just get tired, so tired. So I went to the doctor, had MRIs and everything else. They checked me out. You're in good health, but they said, you had this. The devil said, I'm going to kill you. You're a faith man. You believe in healing. Here, take some more of this. But you see, my faith wasn't as strong as it is then, that I am now, because I filled my heart. I got strong in the Lord. See, here's what you got to do. You got to confess that Satan has no authority over you. He can't put sickness on you. So I confessed the word. I said, you can't put that on me. Jesus healed me. Amen. You know, he don't play fair. He's going to come to you, especially in the moment when you don't realize it. And that's when your confession has to come, who you are in Christ. I'm the healed one. I'm the delivered one. So this is important to exercise your faith in that. Because you'll have what you said. Our high priest who sits at the right hand of the Father, before he left in Mark 11 and 23, 24, he says, you shall have what you say. That is, what you say according to the covenant. Not just say anything you want. But say what the Bible says about you. He makes whatever comes to pass. there's a story, I'm going to close with this. There's a story in Exodus chapter 13, 30, 31, 32. There's a story there about these Israelites. God told them to go over and check out the land. So they went to check out the land. They come back. Two guys came with a good report. And the rest of them gave a bad report. And a bad report, here's a confession again. The confession is a negative confession. They did not say what God said about them. They said, God says, go over the land and take the land. And they went over. They spied out the land. Oh, yeah, the land. They said, the land is wonderful. And the 10 people said, but we can't do it. We have opposition. There's so much opposition. We'll never make it. We're just little bitty ants. What did they say? Ants? Grasshoppers. You know? We're little grasshoppers. That's how they see themselves, as a grasshopper. And maybe you see yourself as a grasshopper, as far as problems are concerned. Some of you are still stuck on the sickness I just mentioned. So let me just see here what I got to do. No, you got to confess what the Word says about you. So they went over and confessed something bad. They come back saying, oh, we can't do this. But God says, you can have the land. And they come back and say, we can't do it. Two said we could do it. Jesus said God says it was a bad confession. In chapter 14, I believe verse 27, here's what God said. Whatever you said in my ears, that's what's going to happen to you. So if we believe something enough in our hearts and we say it, it's going to come to pass. Good or bad, yeah? So if you made bad confessions, negative confessions that are not in the scripture, just say no. Brother Hagin used to teach us about schooling yourself in faith. And that is to confess the word until you believe it. Maybe you don't believe it now, but confess the word, and it'll build faith in you and change your mind, and it'll become faith. One day, it'll just say, "Whoo, I believe this." Did you know some people who say things, they lie all their lives, and all of a sudden, they believe it? I know people like that. They say things over and over, and they believe lies. So that's what the devil wants. He wants you to believe lies. So a wrong confession, it's a confession of defeat. That's what those guys did. It's a confession of failure and the power of Satan over you. I remember somebody very close to me used to say, oh, that Satan is powerful, man. He's really powerful. He's at it again. He's after me. And I would say, don't say that. Just say, I'm after Satan. Where is he? You ever get like that? You know, you're in church and you get tough in church, right? Everybody's singing about how strong you are in the Lord and everything else, and you get out on your own, all of a sudden you find yourself in the car dark. And Satan's in the back seat going. Sharpening his knives. His claws, I mean. His eyes are looking at you. Is that you? It's me. No, you're not going to be afraid of him. You have power over him. He doesn't have any power over you. In fact, Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I'm going to give you power over all the devils, over all the power of the devil, and nothing is going to harm you, he said. Nothing. I want to give you power, mental health power, and physical power physical power, like, you know, thank God for that. Let's close. Let's go home. Praise God. Amen? I told the guys, you better let me on early. They went on and on and on, 8:30. I have a lot of things that I wanted to say there about that, but we'll get it right. We're supposed to speak. I'm supposed to speak only half an hour, so. Anyway, I took 12 minutes. Let's pray really fast. Close up. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we have the power of God, that we're more than conquerors through Christ, that we're new creatures, that we're righteous, and that our prayers are powerful, and that we're healthy, and we're strong in the Lord, and that you cover us with your blood, and nothing bad is going to happen to us because we are more than conquerors, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that we're righteous, and that you hear our prayers every time, and every time we pray, you always answer us. We're confident in our own prayers. And when we pray, things happen. Good things happen. And so we pray for all the members here tonight, every person here tonight. We pray the blessing of God. We confer the blessing of God on you. I confess the power of God on you. I confess healing and health over you and open doors, safety in the name of Jesus. I pray for your body right now, your body to be healed. If there's anything that touched you today, any virus that touched you, I command it to die out and not be effective in your body. I command your body to be strong in the name of Jesus. Somebody's stomach right now is being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I hear liver in the name of Jesus. You might even not even know you've had this liver problem. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be well. And you'll see God is real. Thank you, Lord God. Someone has been afraid. You will not be afraid. You will say, like the Bible says in Psalm 23, I shall not be afraid. I will not be afraid. And when I go to bed at night, I will not be afraid as well. I will go to sleep soundly and I'll rest. I command your heart rate to be normal in the name of Jesus right now. I command your heart rate to be normal right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Blood pressure to be perfect and whole in the mighty name of Jesus. We command angels to be around your house, around your home, wherever you go. We circle you with the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Clear up that chest right now in the name of Jesus. We confer and confess your chest to be clear. We rebuke any kind of virus to die and cease being. We command health and wholeness in your body in the name of Jesus. And some people that are believing for money, Father, we bind up every devil that's holding them in bondage, in poverty, a spirit of poverty, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit, a bondage that's causing lack in the name of Jesus. We bind that spirit right now. You said, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And so, Father, we loose the angels of God right now. Because we call the angels of God, go forth, angels, and cause a financial breakthrough. Finances for whatever they need to come through in their lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oppression, leave. Oppression, leave. Go in the name of Jesus. Be free in your mind. Be free from feeling low, from feeling depressed, from feeling oppressed, from feeling sluggish, I command your mind to be clear in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you for clarity of mind in the name of Jesus. Thank you. We praise you. Let's all praise him right now. Thank you. Father, lift your hand and bless him. We praise you. Those prophetic words, those words of healing and health and dispensing of goods and open doors, a blessing. Right now, we confess that. That's our confession of faith. We're holding fast to it. We're not gonna let go of it. We're gonna hold on to it because it's so, because it's said in the Word that you provide all we need. Say, I will not lack for one thing. I'm going to sleep soundly. I'll be safe and not sorry, but I'll be happy. No depression, no sickness, no disaster will strike me. Sickness is far from me. Blessings are coming my way. Open doors are there for me. I'm going to go free, and I come back free. Whenever I leave, I come back safe. Whenever I leave, I come back safe. One more time. Whenever I leave, I come back safe. In Jesus' name, amen.